This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. You poke your finger into one too many eyes, and guess what? No friends in your corner when you mess up. And that's what led to the early morning drama last Friday with now ex-representatives Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat in Lansing. Let's pick over the pieces of this saga with our It's Just Politics team of Rick Pluta and Zoe Clark. Rick, when I woke up early Friday morning and I discovered Corser had resigned and Gamrat had become the fourth state legislator to be expelled, I got whiplash. Was I off base thinking, if anything, she would resign and he would get the boot?
Oh, that was absolutely the way that it was looking, that, you know, Gamrat was on a path to create a deal for censure. But absent that, she said that, you know, she had talked about resignation multiple times and her family urged her not to. And it was, you know, plain, obvious, apparent that Todd Corser was going to stick it out to the bitter end. And in fact, like you said, it worked out the other way around, that Corser quietly, almost giddily, turned in his resignation letter and then, you know, walked out of the Capitol while Cindy Gamrat, she said largely as a matter of principle that expulsion was unfair. And if they were going to do it, then she was going to make them do it. You know, she endured the two-thirds majority expulsion vote.
I think a lot of Lansing reporters lost some money on how that came out.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people lost money on that for a whole bunch of reasons.
And part of this, of course, is the whole narrative of how this has gone since August 7th when Chad Livengood of the Detroit News broke this story. Very quickly, Gamrat was the one offering apologies, holding press conferences, lawyered up very quickly, decided quickly to be the contrite one, offer apology after apology.
Yes.
There were tears. And
but Corser, from Corser,
it was still... you know, defiant until the end, well, up till about 5 minutes before the end when, as Rick said, he was on the House floor. He was almost looking jovial, shaking hands with folks.
Taking photos of the board with his phone.
But you know when things really changed?
When?
It was on Wednesday when Todd Corser came in to testify and basically asked for the same deal that Cindy Gamrat was, it seemed, in line to get, which was censure, a lot of heavy punishments, you know, losing control of your office, maybe committee assignments, but not expulsion. And the two requests were so close that it appeared like they were colluding, that they were in contact again. And, you know, they were supposed to be two distinct cases. That was her defense team's strategy, which is Cindy Gamrat and Todd Corser are very, very different people. And that just came crashing down at the end. But, you know, another interesting thing was just how the process for removing them was bungled and it became this long, drawn out affair.
Yeah, because we talked Thursday and it was looking dubious as to whether the Dems were going to go along with this. So recap what happened through that night.
For reasons that are almost impossible to understand by people who understand how legislative processes work, the Republicans put the question up on the board without knowing that they had the majority that they needed to pass it. And for something as significant and solemn as this, you really need to have your ducks in a row. And it wasn't like they didn't have some signals that maybe this wasn't working out the way that they had hoped, that the Democrats on the committee said, we're not comfortable with this. We, you know, they didn't vote against it, but they refused to vote for it. And you still have to have enough votes. So Republicans went into this not having enough votes and they still went ahead. I don't know if they just didn't think that if they put it up there that the Democrats would just go for it.
I think it's
but if that was the case, they made a big mistake.
It's exactly what you said there. They didn't think. I mean, there wasn't a lot of planning. I heard a very smart person last week say it was 18 innings of minor league baseball. That smart person.
A very smart person.
Joining us right now. One Rick Pluta saying that, but that's exactly what it was. And we were watching in real time process that did not look very good for both sides.
And this whole thing really was more about they cheated on their spouses and Corser tried to cover it up with that phony email about a male prostitute. This, Rick, goes right back to their very first days in Lansing, doesn't it?
Well, even before that, you know, remember that the Tea Party has been this disruptive presence in Republican politics for a few years now, that they've roiled primaries and conventions. You remember a few years ago, Todd Corser came very, very close to unseating, you know, then state Republican Party chairman Bobby Shostak. Since then, he came into the legislature and was just always sticking his thumb in the eye of the leadership, right down to, you know, not wanting the furniture that went with the office. He tried to put his his own stuff in there and got smacked down. And so when news of this broke, then, you know, basically Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat handed their adversaries the tool to remove this nettlesome pair.
And as Rick and I said earlier today in our segment, It's Just Politics, I mean, what these two representatives were able to do is something the Republican Party hasn't been able to do, which is actually
unite the party.
Unite the party over something. Mm-hmm. You know, the party has been at war of sorts about tax issues, issues over road funding, and yet here was something all of the Republicans were able to get on board on. And as you said, Cindy, in the beginning, it was because Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat did not do anything to make friends. In fact, out of this, you know, 833-page report that came out, there's a story that Corser used to miss hearings on his own bills
on his own committee,
right, to text Cindy Gamrat things she could say to a fellow Republican to annoy them. You know,
right.
So it's pretty indicative, if that's what you're spending your time doing, that when Republicans had the opportunity to turn around and shove it right back, they took it.
Well, now that these two staunch Tea Partiers are out of there, what do you think is ahead first for Michigan's Tea Party, Rick?
Well, it does seem like the apex of the Tea Party's influence may have been around 2010. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're still there. And we should point out that the Tea Party has been an element in the Republican coalition really since the days of Barry Goldwater. It hasn't always been called the Tea Party, but it's always been there. And we have seen these insurgencies crop up. We saw it after Governor Milliken retired and Lieutenant Governor Jim Brickley was the heir apparent. But this grassroots insurgency, you know, swept Dick Headley in to be the Republican nominee for governor. And then we saw it again in 1987 during the presidential delegate selection process, when supporters of Pat Robertson and Jack Kemp surged in and, you know, very nearly took Michigan's delegates from George H.W. Bush, who was backed by the Republican Party leader in the state. He was then the state Senate majority leader, John Engler. And so, you know, these insurgencies crop up from time to time. And in matter of fact, the Michigan Republican Party even has a position to try and deal with it and manage it. It's called the Grassroots Party Chair.
What's ahead for the state Republican Party now, Zoe?
And that's the question, Cindy. I mean, you know, I think what both parties want to get back to, specifically what Republicans need to get back to now, is policy. And the biggest issue on that right now is roads. I mean, you're constantly seeing journalists, politicos, and voters saying, okay, enough. We get that a sex scandal took up all the headlines. Yeah. This is over now. Let's figure out what really needs to be done. And as Rick and I were saying, and I was saying earlier, Republicans now need a win on something, as being in the majority, and roads is looking like what they need to get done next.
Well, it took, I think, a nanosecond.
That's the top one.
I think it took a nanosecond for social media to seize on the fact that they kept the board up all night long to get the vote they wanted. And people were already saying, why couldn't you do that to get what you wanted for roads? Exactly.
If you're willing to do this over a sex scandal, you're not willing to do it over, you know, how frustrated voters are over potholes and things like that, that, you know, folks saying,
well,
hey.
I think maybe the way that this was handled, you know, sends a signal as to why they have not been able to come
touche.
To a deal with
no,
roads.
No, touche, case in point. I mean, look at what happened. And then are we that surprised they haven't been able
Well,
to
we know that now.
Here is the Tea Party dilemma. That the Republican quote-unquote establishment that wants to govern needs to build center-right coalitions with people who don't always agree with them on all things. That's the way governing works.
It has.
You build working majorities.
Yeah.
The Tea Party, like we said, is a disruptive presence, that they exist pretty much for the purpose of pulling the Republican Party further to the right. And, you know, they're still going to vote in Republican primaries. They're still going to vote in Republican conventions. And a matter of fact, if the Republican, again, quote unquote, establishment really wants to deal with the party, they've got to work on turnout. They've got to work on getting delegates to conventions, because that's where the Tea Party has been, you know, besting them, or at least, you know, being good enough at it to cause some major heartburn in recent years.
And for Corser and Gamrat, last 30 seconds, I know nothing hit the court yet.
Has hit the court yet. Cindy Gamrat held what I'm assuming right now for the time being likely sort of her final press conference last Friday, getting word earlier this morning that, of course, they're already going to start filling these two seats, a primary in November, an announcement today on someone who wants to run for her seat. Corser actually starting to do radio interviews as early as this morning, you know, talking again. So I don't think we've heard the end of Todd Corser.
I don't know what will happen with this criminal investigation, but I suspect that there will, at the very least, be some action to try and go after Todd Corser's law license. I was talking to one Republican who said about this, "You don't leave your enemy wounded."
That's a good place to leave it for now, but I know there'll be more to this. Zoe Clark and Rick Pluta are It's Just Politics team, picking up those pieces from that early Friday morning in Lansing. Thanks so much, you two.
Thanks, Cindy.
You bet.